Chapter 3, Economic Consequences. Now that we have a fairly good grasp of who's going to die and perhaps some of the political implications of that, let's talk about the economic implications of Ghost World. We need to understand that cities and states and nations are almost all bankrupt right now. They are relying on new tax revenues and, in many cases, money printing in order to try to stay afloat and meet their obligations, the entitlements that they owe the people. Those entitlements include Medicare and Medicaid at the state level. They include Social Security and, of course, government pensions. So retirement benefits, healthcare benefits among retirees, but also healthcare benefits among the currently employed. Now, since most of these government entities at the city, state, and national level are bankrupt, they've long realized that the only way they can stay financially solvent is to find a way to kill off a large percentage of those who are collecting entitlements from them. And so this vaccine mass suicide scenario that we're discussing here, it fulfills that goal for these cities and states. And again, we could talk about how immoral it is and how unethical it is and how murderous it is. And for the record, it is murderous and it is pure evil. Yet, when have governments ever not been evil? You know, governments, it's almost like they celebrate being evil just to stay in power. And they don't want to lose power because of a financial bankruptcy. So if there's a way they can kill off the entitlement recipients or kill off the Social Security collectors or kill off the Medicare collectors and so on, well, they would love to do that. Hence, they're pushing booster shots. Basically, they're announcing to people, hurry up and die. And they really want to kill the elderly because that's who's not paying taxes. That's who's just collecting money, you know, the retirees. And so that's who they're targeting to kill. The problem with this evil plot is that their weapon system that's designed to kill off the elderly is also killing off a lot of young people and middle-aged people who are the workers of society. They are contributing to society. They're the ones paying taxes and buying property and, you know, earning paychecks. They are the consumers that are driving the tax base that keeps cities and counties and states and nations alive, financially speaking. So this mass carpet bombing of the population with a weapon of genocide that, on one hand, could have saved these entities a lot of money and actually kept them solvent, is going to have another devastating effect that's actually going to lead to the total economic destruction of many of these government entities. And that is the mass killing off of the productive class. And this is what you need to understand. This is why we covered this in a previous chapter, when it's the working class that was forced to be vaccinated in the corporations and in even big tech and in government, you know, the government workers, city workers, and so on. When that kicks in, and it's already started, the die-off is going to devastate these government entities. And they're going to experience economic losses that they did not anticipate. And these losses are going to be far greater than the savings that they are realizing by killing off the entitlement takers. So, what's this actually going to look like? Well, understand that cities and states, their revenues are very heavily dependent typically on income taxes, as well as sales taxes and property taxes. So counties, they need property taxes. Cities often have sales taxes. States usually have sales taxes and income taxes. And other states that don't have the income taxes, like Texas, for example, they have heavy taxes on energy. And we'll talk about that shortly. And Wyoming, for example, earns a significant portion of its income from energy. And this is true for several different states. But the energy sector is going to be very heavily impacted as well. We'll talk about that later. But in states that then lose the working class or some significant portion of the working class, they're going to lose, of course, the income tax. And as the die-off accelerates in blue cities and blue states, you're going to see a collapse of real estate values. So properties are going to collapse. In fact, there will be a glut of real estate that's especially magnified in the blue areas. And as a result, property prices are going to absolutely collapse. I would not be surprised to see property plunge 70 to 80% in some of these blue cities. It could even be worse. It could be 90%. I mean, imagine picking up a house for one-tenth of what it costs today. That could be a reality within 5 or 6 years, depending on the rate of the die-off. But this will devastate economically these municipalities because, of course, they depend on property taxes, which is based on the valuation of the property. So as the properties plummet in value because of the real estate crash, because of the die-off, then these counties are going to be, they're going to lose a massive amount of revenue. And the same thing's true because there are fewer people alive that are shopping. So fewer people are paying sales tax, fewer people are paying income tax, fewer businesses are paying inventory taxes and so on. And in many states, by the way, they also earn revenue from fuel taxes. So gasoline at the retail pump, and with fewer people living, there are going to be fewer people driving, and so fewer people purchasing fuel. And obviously, that's going to have a devastating impact. Now, here's where it gets really crazy. These blue cities have been very, very large cities. Look at Los Angeles, look at San Francisco, San Diego, what have you, even Portland, Seattle, you name it. These cities have built very large infrastructure. And even though they will have a mass die-off and a collapse of their incoming revenue, it doesn't mean that they have less infrastructure to maintain. The question is, how are these cities going to continue to maintain all the roads and bridges and streetlights and sewage systems and other infrastructure, even, you know, firehouses and so on, that were built to support a much larger population? When that population is shrinking, dying off, and the revenues are collapsing, and the property values are collapsing, and then you have on top of that an acceleration of a mass exodus out of your city. Because who wants to stay behind in this freaking ghost town of lawlessness and chaos, right? So you're going to have even more people leaving over the next 10 years. And it's going to be the people who are capable of leaving. It's the people who have the money to move. You know, the people who can afford to rent a U-Haul, which will be very expensive, by the way, because everybody's going to want to rent a U-Haul and get out of town. So then your city collapses financially because you can't maintain the infrastructure. You can't even begin to pay for it just to keep it up because you built, again, too many bridges, too many roads. You have this massive infrastructure that has this overhead cost, and these cities have long-term bonds that they have to pay, you know, a 20-year bond here, a 15-year bond, a 30-year bond. And they sold those bonds in order to fund infrastructure. So they built schools and bridges and massive buildings and so on, and they owe on those. They're not going to be able to meet the obligations. So you may be familiar with what's happening with Evergrande in China right now. That's the property developer that turned out to be a massive Ponzi scheme, which we knew was coming. We warned about that years ago. Well, the same thing is actually going to happen with municipal bonds in blue cities. So if you bought paper that is bonds in Evergrande a few years ago, Evergrande promised a very high rate of return. They might have promised you 8%, 9%, maybe even 10%. And you thought you had a good investment, you were holding the paper, they were making interest payments, and then the whole thing collapsed and suddenly the paper is worth nothing. That's going to happen to bondholders in America. So people holding municipal bonds and other types of bonds in America are going to be left holding worthless paper. That's what's coming in America because of the vaccines. And so you're going to have a cascading financial collapse stemming from all of this. And that's if they don't pull the rug out from under us by deliberately collapsing the fiat currency in their global reset plans. Now, this report is not about that, but I do have another free downloadable audiobook on that entire theme, and that's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. And you can find that at globalreset.news, and it's a free download. It's MP3 files plus a downloadable printable PDF transcript of the entire book. It tells you what's coming financially and how to protect yourself from that event. So then, as these cities lose revenue and lose their productive citizens, and as they have a very, very high overhead for infrastructure, they will default on bonds and they will make horrific cuts to their spending. And these cuts, you're going to see them accelerating all throughout the 2020s. And these cuts will be absolutely devastating. They will cut police and firefighters. They will cut first responders, 911 services. They will cut road repair, you know, street lights, everything. And at some point, the city becomes essentially unlivable. And the retailers will all shut down. They will leave. And this is already beginning to happen in some California cities because of the crime wave, because of all the shoplifting. And so you're going to see cities collapsing into ghost towns where no sane person will remain. No one wants to be left behind in a city that's going to be, of course, ruled by, you know, drug dealers and violent criminals. There are no police to help you. There are really no remaining retail shops. It's going to look like a wasteland in many of these cities. Just empty shops, you know, weeds growing through the cracks in the sidewalks. It's going to look a lot like that scene of New York City in the movie I Am Legend, starring Will Smith, which, by the way, that movie is about a vaccine zombie apocalypse. That's actually what the film is about. And everybody turned into zombies and went crazy, and then society collapsed. And that movie is kind of a premonition of what's coming. We are heading in that direction. And it will happen in many cities. Some areas of cities like Los Angeles already look like a collapse war zone right now. Certain areas of Seattle look that way, certain areas of Portland, and so on. It's going to get far worse. I mean, if you thought Detroit was bad in 2019, wait till you see Chicago in 2029. Oh my. So now, as I said, people are going to be exiting these cities in record numbers. And where are they going? Well, of course, they're going to desperately try to find land. They're going to move not just into the suburbs, because the suburbs are precariously too close to the cities. The suburbs are going to be hit by, you know, gang raids, looting raids, and so on. People are going to move out into the country as much as they can. And so at the same time that we're seeing a collapse in values of property prices in the cities, we're going to see very strong demand for property values in the country. And right now, I live in Central Texas, and Texas, the property values are just off the charts. It's beyond insane. You could have bought acreage in Central Texas for under $5,000 an acre just 5 years ago. Now that same acreage is $25,000 an acre in some cases. You know, we've seen a 500% increase. I suspect, you know, a lot of that is money printing, of course, but some of that is just because everybody's trying to get to the country. And that demand is going to continue. You see, people will learn the hard way that you don't want to live in an artificial environment when society is collapsing. As they watch the city infrastructure fall down all around them, they're going to realize, whoa, it would have been much better to have a well rather than rely on municipal water. And I didn't mention municipal water yet, but that's one of the things that's going to collapse. So the question is, How much is a commercial building worth when there's no water? Yeah, there's a question for you. Ask any real estate agent, anybody. How much is a commercial building worth without water? And the answer is pretty much zero. Or how much is a residential home worth if there's no water and no sewage service? Huh? How about that? How much is a home worth if the electricity doesn't work or isn't reliable? How much is a business worth without reliable electricity? You see, you can go on and on. The answer is the same. It's all worth about zero. And that's where this is all headed. So as the infrastructure collapses, everyone will flee the cities. Real estate prices will collapse. And then it's a self-reinforcing loop. The cities are going to become just criminal ghost towns, kind of like something out of Escape from New York, starring Kurt Russell, or Escape from LA. That's what they're going to look like. And then on the flip side, there will be a thriving economy in rural areas and small towns across America. So let's talk about the good news for a minute. In rural areas, you're going to have weekend barter events set up. It'll be every weekend. You come in, you bring your eggs, you know, you bring your harvested lettuce or whatever. You bring your ammunition that you have to barter. You bring your silver coins and you barter. And that's going to be thriving in many areas across the country, because as people spread out and move out into the country, they're going to learn how to be more self-reliant, self-sustaining. They're going to learn that you actually can live off the land when you have some land, that you can grow food, that you can have backyard chickens, that you can collect rainwater, you can manufacture things, you can build things, you learn some welding, you can make some things. You know, this is what's going to sustain society. So we're going to have a resurgence, actually, in the rebirth of rural America at the same time that we have the absolute collapse of urban America. And so the future of America, it's going to be two totally different experiences for people depending on where they are. If you make it to a rural area in a red state, you're going to be in a free state, part of free America. And everybody's going to be carrying guns. It's going to be open carry. It's going to be open trade. It's going to be a free market and barter systems, versus those who are going to be stuck in the slave states, which is the blue states, with the collapsing cities, the collapsing economies, massive crime and looting and raping and violence and mayhem, lawlessness and everything you can imagine. That's going to be hell. So where you are determines the outcome that you're going to experience. And I'm not saying life is going to be easy just because you move out to the countryside. It's hard to grow your own food. I know, because I've done it. It's hard to take care of animals. There's a lot of work, physical work. And you have to have some know-how, and you have to have some determination and not be a lazy, you know, welfare recipient your whole life. You got to get off your butt and do things. But it's also healthier, it's also more rewarding, and it's good for your mental health, by the way, to be outside and work with nature. So we're going to see two different Americas. We're going to see the free states, where you're going to have freedom of speech, you're going to have the freedom of exchange, you're not going to be required to be vaccinated, you're going to be free to carry a gun, you know, and then you're going to have the slave states, where you're going to be a medical slave. You're going to be required to be vaccinated. You're not going to be able to have a gun to defend yourself, even though there's no police. It's just going to be hell on earth. So those are the two different Americas that you get to choose from. And that's why so many people are choosing right now, and they're leaving California and New York and other liberal states like New Jersey, and they're coming to Texas or Florida, or moving to Utah or Arizona or Idaho or even Indiana, Kansas, wherever, anywhere that's just not a slave state. So that's just a small taste of the economic reality that's coming. We've got a lot more to cover here. We're going to talk about gold and silver and means of exchange and assets and crypto and all of that. I've got a few more thoughts to share with you about timing of getting out of the Blue Cities. Only the very first people to move out are going to be successful in selling their homes, because home prices are going to plummet once the idea of leaving these cities really catches on and becomes mainstream. So throughout the year 2021, there were millions of Americans who left blue cities and states, and they were able to successfully sell their homes in most cases. And they were even able to get quite a lot of money for their homes because real estate is in a bubble due to money printing. But those are the early people. And they were very fortunate that they had the foresight to move out of those cities and states before everybody else caught on. Once people start to catch on, of course, prices are going to plummet, and you're going to get an overreaction due to the fear and panic of what's coming and the sense of desperation to sell at any price to move out of the state or move out of the city. And at some point, people will simply abandon homes and commercial properties and so on. There's going to be a lot of abandoned property in certain blue cities as they devolve into a near complete collapse state. There will be no buyers. Now, when that happens, of course, a lot of mortgages are going to go into default, because you're going to have something like a repeat of the 2008 subprime mortgage collapse, where a lot of people will just call up the bank and say, it's yours. I'm going to leave the keys on the kitchen counter. You know, you can have it. We're not paying. We're going to default. Bye. You know, that you're going to see a lot of that happening in blue cities. And this, of course, is going to cause another housing and mortgage crisis, because, by the way, the CDOs that contributed to the subprime mortgage collapse in 2008, those are being recreated and repackaged and resold again. You know, CDOs collateralize the debt obligations. And this is just the repackaging of bad subprime mortgage debt. And it's all happening again, because no lessons were learned in 2008 by the financial industry, because everybody got bailed out. Well, almost everybody got bailed out. Maybe not Bear Stearns, but, you know, Bank of America and JP Morgan and so on, they all got bailed out. And the question is, how bad is the real estate collapse going to be in the next few years as all of this accelerates? And I think the outcome is going to, once again, be determined regionally. In some areas, it's going to be catastrophic, such as the collapsing blue cities. In other areas, such as the rebuilding red states, you may not have a collapse at all. You may continue to have strong demand for real estate. But the point of all of this is that there's a steep penalty to pay for being late in catching on to what's happening, you see. And you could say there's a strong financial reward for being early, just for recognizing all of this early. But for those who don't see this coming, and that's the vast majority, they will be oblivious as to why they're being wiped out. Why are they losing all the value on their property? Why is the bank recalling the loans? Now, that's going to happen too. We haven't even talked about that yet. But as property prices fall, banks can issue loan recalls where they can demand that homeowners pay a large sum in order to bring the bank back down to an 80% loan amount that's outstanding on the value, the current value of the house. So in other words, let's say you buy a house in California for $1 million. And at that time, it's worth $1 million. And you take out a loan for $800,000. And you're making payments on that loan, but you're barely paying it down in the early days, because that's how loans work. And then 3 years later, because of the property crash, that house is only worth $500,000. But you still owe, let's say, $750,000 on a house that the bank now knows is only worth $500,000. Well, the bank's not willing to let that situation ride. They're going to come to you and demand that you pay them many hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring it back to 80%, which in this case would be $400,000 of a loan. So you currently owe $750,000. They need you to bring it down to $400,000. So they would ask you to write them a check for $350,000 Otherwise, you lose the house. That's going to happen all across these blue cities. And people have no idea that that even can happen. But trust me, it's in the fine print on your home loan. The bank can call in the loan. They can demand a principal payment of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And when this happens, of course, banks are going to lose big time. We're going to have another subprime collapse. But accurately stated, many of these loans aren't even subprime loans. They were qualified loans. It's just that the valuations have changed so dramatically that people can't make the cash deposits that the bank requires to bring the loan back into balance. Now, another thought in all of this is that there's only a limited amount of rural real estate in the red states. And of course, because of that natural scarcity, right now prices are going up, up, up in those red states. Even following the collapse of the dollar, it's quite possible that real estate valuations will remain relatively stable in rural areas of red states. Again, because there will be many millions of people trying to get there. But not everybody's going to be able to do that because of how expensive that real estate is and because their homes are losing value, you know, in their own blue cities. So what they'll do instead, because it's the only thing they can afford, is they'll try to get into a red state, but into an apartment building that is relatively affordable in that red state, probably in a city or a suburb. So I see that apartment rental rates are going to go up as all of this is happening because of this mass migration. And you're going to see real estate valuations skyrocket in those areas or in those segments of housing that are on the lower end of affordability. You're going to see a surge in demand. And because of this, you're going to have, of course, more property tax revenues in these cities that are in red states or in these suburbs. Many of these would be, you could say, red suburbs or possibly blue cities, but they're not all the way radical blue. And then these counties and cities are going to need to use that money to build out more infrastructure because of the increased population. So you could actually have a problem where, even though we're talking about a ghost world scenario and some cities being ghost towns or ghost cities, other areas could be overcrowded with huge traffic problems, such as Austin, Texas. I would imagine the traffic in Austin is going to get far worse than what it is already, and it's bad now. That's why I never go there, if I can help it. So just keep in mind that when I say ghost world, and we are talking about overall a population reduction, there are some areas that could see very strong increases in population density and therefore demand for all the services that the population needs, such as housing and gasoline and plumbers and electricians and so on and so forth. So we're going to see a redistribution. We'll see a tearing down of infrastructure in places like Los Angeles, but then a renewed investment in infrastructure in states like Florida and Texas and Oklahoma and Idaho and Montana and so on. That's what we're looking at. And again, the overall point of this subchapter is that if you can see this coming, if you can anticipate this, you're going to be so much better off than everyone else because you'll beat the crowd. You'll be able to acquire property in advance of the mob, so to speak, for a lot less money, or you'll be able to set yourself up in a local business that provides services or housing or whatever is needed by these new growing high-density population centers. So that's my take on this. Remember, even if the vaccine kills many tens of millions of people, in the red states, that might only translate into, let's say, a 15 or 17% loss of population. And that could be very easily recouped by just the domestic immigration, people just moving into those cities. So the real ghost towns are going to be the blue cities, not the red states. The domestic immigration, people just moving into those cities. So the real ghost towns are going to be the blue cities, not the red states.